Good morning, friends. Happy to be in this morning, and I can pass the same comment on our brother. I promised him to be on the broadcast, and I missed it 1 week, and the next week I forgot it, so I thought a third time ought to be a real time ought to do it. So I was just there in 1 minute at a time, just 1 minute. And Brother Snyder was outside, so we slipped in real quick and finally got into the broadcast, and I think we upset him is what we did when he came in right there just a little bit. So, and here I was coming down, I followed the text to preach on, you know, and it's usually in mine. It takes about an hour and a half, and I got about 15, 18 minutes of it started in, and then I looked up in the clock, said it's time to leave. So we'll continue next Saturday or sometime. That's right. Last Sunday we was on the 10th chapter of Hebrews and got started on the first verse. And didn't get any farther. Don't forget the services in Indianapolis this week. If any of you have any friends up that way, why, write and tell them. The services will begin tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Cato Tabernacle in Indianapolis. And there's plenty of seating room, nearly 11,000 people it'll seat. And it's a small convention. It's a little organization. I really don't even know what the name of the organization is. They're having a rally there, a convention. And in this convention, they asked me to be the night speaker. So I think the fellowship itself, the church, the organization only has just a very, very few members. And then at nighttime, I have the speaking service every night, Monday through Friday. Friday night is the end of the convention. So if you got any friends around Indianapolis, well, come right up. And on the 23rd, the morning of the 23rd, if there happened to be someone traveling through here just on your vacation, as it is vacation month usually, June, Minneapolis, the Christian Businessman Internationally is having their convention in Minneapolis, and the open service is the 23rd, the breakfast, the morning breakfast is the 23rd of June. I'm to speak at the morning breakfast and opening the service. Then on the 24th, I'll still be in Minneapolis, and I'll be at the Heart Harbor Tabernacle with Reverend Gordon Peterson. And they have the program telecast there, so if you're around, why, drop in. And then on the 25th, starts the convention. And we'll be there. It's a very unusual program. Mr. Roberts, Mr. Hicks, myself, many more ministers is to be there, and there's no program lined out. The Christian Businessman, being a full gospel Christian businessman, they wanted to just leave it open to whatever the Holy Spirit would say do, have us all there. And so they never had one like that, and they never advertised any speakers. The only speakings advertised is the morning of the 23rd, I'm supposed to speak at their breakfast, and that's announced. Otherwise, we'll just all be there waiting on the Holy Spirit. That ought to be pretty good, don't it? If we can just all submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, that's it. And let Him use us the way He would want to use us. Now, and then the next scheduled service that I know of is the old Azusa Street Rally. It's, that comes September the 15th. I open the service there for the International Rally of Azusa Street. 50 years of Pentecost in the United States. They're 50 years old this coming September when the Holy Spirit first fell in Azusa Street Mission, the old, I believe it was an old Baptist mission, or at Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California, is where the Holy Spirit first fell 50 years ago this coming September. And when I was at the Cow Palace a couple of years ago, I said, well, 50, the word Pentecost means 50. So why not we just have a big rally. And you know, that caught a fire, and they got an international rally. And it will be held in the Angelus Temple. And 5 days prior to that, I'm to make a little panoramic around to the different places, all down at East Gate, South Gate, and on up into the city of, several of those little cities, five different cities, to make a little panoramic, one night service, and then go right into the big rally. And if you're around California or out there, some of you from California, remember that. We're expecting a great time of fellowship with God's people at that time. Now, shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for the grand, glorious privilege that we have of coming into Thy presence with joyful hearts and thanksgiving, because that Jesus, the Son of God, has so permitted us to do this, and His grace has brought us up to this time, and we're glad to be here today. Glad to have this little place together. It's an open place, an open Bible, and open hearts to receive God's Word and His message. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will come and fill every crevice of our heart with His goodness as we read His Word. For it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, O God, open our mouth today that it would be You speak, and our hearts that it would be the Holy Spirit to hear. For we ask it in Jesus' name, Thy Son. Amen. Last Sunday in the book of Hebrews, we started with the 10th chapter, and then we got off on another subject, not knowing just where the Holy Spirit will lead us to teach from, nothing premeditated, just waiting for His moving. We got back on foreknowledge from that. Say, by the way, I'm glad to see Sister Hooper sitting there this morning. Sister Flo, sure glad to see you. Many of you may not know her, some of you. And she's been a tuberculist for years and years in Bedfast and all over the nation trying to get deliverance. And today we're glad to have her sitting in the tabernacle looking fine today. Thanks be to God. Now, the writer of the Hebrew letter is supposedly to have been Paul, because it sounds like his writing. And the Hebrew letter was to the Jews, the Hebrews. And it was Paul trying to separate law from grace, showing the difference between what the law was and what grace is, because the Hebrews was under the law. And then Paul was trying to show them what grace was. And I think myself that the 10th chapter here and the first verse would be a perfect key to the whole thing. Now we have the first chapter starting out, God in sundry times and divers matters spoke to the fathers through the prophets, but in this last day through His Son, Christ Jesus. Come on over to the 7th chapter, we appear in the Melchizedek. We come on down into the 9th chapter of the priesthood. Now that Christ becomes our high priest to take the place of the old high priest. Then bring it on over to the 10th chapter. We come in the law being a shadow of the things to come. We go into the 11th chapter, and it's all about the wonderful shadows of the faith, the heroes of faith, how by faith they did such and such a thing, and how without us, they cannot be made perfect because they are the shadow of this to come. And then we go into the 11th chapter in Paul, or the 12th chapter of Paul, saying, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that's easy to set us, that we would run with patience the race that's set before us. The 13th chapter, the ending chapter, said, ends up with this towards the end, that Jesus Christ is all in all, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, showing that it was Christ back before the law, it was Christ in the law, it was Christ in the days of grace, and it will be Christ forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a beautiful picture the Hebrew letter paints to us. Now, beginning again now with the first verse, let's go back. The last Sunday, we thought we'd get to the subject of perfection. But then God moved us back and got foreknowledge, showing us where that before the world ever was formed. How many was here last Sunday? Let's see your hand. Did you get it? Before the world was ever formed, we were placed in Christ. Think of it. God being infant, who cannot lie, cannot speak anything contrary, knows everything just as perfect at the beginning as He is at the ending, and just as perfect at the end as He was at the beginning. God is endless like eternity. You can never find the corner of a perfect circle. You can run and run through the ages and eternity, and there'd never, never, never be an end to it. And that's the way God is. And when He first was God, which always was, He was instant, perfect to begin with, and He'll always be the same. He never can change.
Amen.
He's perfectly the same. Now, this great chain of perfection was broken by time space. Time came because of sin. Let's draw a picture of time. Let's see a perfect circle forever, forever. And then all of it once sin dropped in and put a little, as my wife calls it, a little hickey or a little drop in the chain. So it comes down now. Eternity continues on, but it's not in its perfect condition. Here's a little gap comes down, breaks over this way, goes out this way. God had to do that because Satan caused it. And it dropped down to a space of time for the trying and the perfecting and for the purging.
Amen.
Of the lost.
Amen.
That God by His sovereign grace might someday lift that little hickey or gap back into the perfect circle.
Amen.
Then she rolls on just the same.
Amen.
You see it? Time. Now time is this little loop. It loops down. Jesus was from eternity to eternity, but He stepped into the time space and made flesh and came to here in order to sanctify or put a streak of blood all across this place.
Amen.
To redeem it and connect it back with God. Amen. Again for all eternity.
Hallelujah.
You see it? That's all time is. Then God, when it started here at the end of a little kink in the perfect circle that made it a little kink in it, when God started there, He was perfect. Everything He said was perfect. Everything He does is perfect. So then the Bible said that Christ Jesus was the Lamb slain from the beginning of the little kink, the beginning of the world. Christ was slain at the beginning. Now, He really wasn't slain until 4,000 years later. But the reason He was slain then, because in the beginning was the Word.
Amen.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, Brother Egan, what I mean? See? He was God in the beginning. And when Satan did not create this little loop, this little hickey, he didn't create that. Satan cannot create. Satan can only pervert what God has created. Look, I say this so that you understand, this is the adult class. We're mostly all married people, probably 90%. I hope the young women and men understand their voice. But you understand me, just to explain something. If a man takes to himself a wife, a woman, and she becomes his wife, and they live together as husband and wife for 50 years, they're just as clean and pure and unadulterated as they had never knew one another. That's God's program. But for that man or woman to go and live with another man or woman, that perverts, makes illegitimate children born. But if they live together in that perfect harmony, that's God's way. But Satan comes around and puts lust in the man or the woman, and they live contrary to those marriage vows, and that's perverting. It's the very same sexual affair, but it's perverted. So that's what Satan does with God's correct thing. He perverts it. That's what Satan's doing today with the real genuine. Listen to the real message of God.
Amen.
He perverts it.
Amen.
Pick something else, make it appear to be something that it's not.
Amen.
In the world today, we find that there is a people, the Bible particularly, three classes of people. One of them is the cold, starchy, formal indifference. They just go ahead no more than belonging to a lodge. They go to church, talk a little about this, that, and the Lord, and so forth, come back, but no actual born-again experience. Oh, some of them claim it, but their life proves that it isn't.
Amen.
Now, that's over on one side, way away. Now, down here on the other side, the fanatics and the real true church. Jesus said so.
Amen.
Would be so close together, it would deceive the very elect.
Amen.
Now, many people, as soon as they see the fanaticism mixed up with the real, oh, they say there's nothing to it. Go on. See, that's the same thing the Pharisees done.
Amen.
Satan doesn't fool with trying to pervert that. He's trying to pervert this truth. And this fanatic here is trying to impersonate that truth.
Amen.
See, there's where your danger line lies.
Amen.
Right there. Now, it behooves us to stay spiritual, read the Word, and anything that rises outside contrary to the Word, then cast it aside.
Amen.
That's the reason many times that I'm, say I'm too hard on women preachers. The Bible says for them not to speak in the church. The Bible forbids them to speak in tongues or anything in the church. I have to stay with the Word. Watch where it's at. Look at it in the world today where all this ism rises up. Watch on all the cults of non-meat eating and illegalists that have got to do so and so. If I don't speak with tongues, if I don't do this, if I don't shout, if I don't dance, there's something wrong with it. That's legalism. We are saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
Nothing what you've done is what he did. He did what you couldn't do. If you could have saved yourself, then he wouldn't have had to die. But he died in order to save you where you could not save yourself. That old God dishonoring proverb says God helps those who can't help themselves. Or God help those who help themselves, they say. That's just vice versa.
Yeah.
If you can help yourself, God expects you to do it. God helps those who cannot help themselves.
Yeah.
And you can't help yourself to be saved, so God, by His grace, saves you. Yeah. Now, notice how beautiful the law, great in the eternity, how God foresaw this loop. And if he's infant and cannot be nothing else, let me just take this about 5 minutes to drive this down right, nail it, so it'll never slip from your minds again.
Amen.
May the Holy Spirit then come and weld it together with love, so that you'll never leave it.
Amen.
Now look. God who cannot lie, God who is infant. And I say this again for people who can't seem to center themselves on divine healing. If God promised it, God's got to take care of His promise.
Amen.
Can't leave it.
Amen.
Now look, before He ever took the printed word, and this is the mind of God. There is.
Amen.
This is the mind of God that He thought before the foundation of the world was ever laid. It is. That's the reason He could put it on printed word and say what would be, because He saw it before the foundation of the world and knew just what it would be and spoke it out.
Hallelujah.
And then he handed down his knowledge to the prophet, and they wrote it out, and year by year, and century by century, we see it coming to pass just exactly. God giving us shadows of the old to foreshadow the new, and we see it word by word being fulfilled. What a faith we ought to have established in God. Now watch him. Christ being slain before the foundation of the world, when God looked down and saw the only thing that would save lost man, he said, I don't know if this is the word, but it had to be something like this. Man cannot be saved because he's going to sin. But I look down through there and I see tens of thousands of honest hearts who want to come. I see thousands of people who want to be saved and not want to go into this horrible destruction that I'm going to have to make for the devil and his angels. Because they've got to go into everlasting punishment. And honest-hearted people will see that. Now I'll have a man by the name of Esau born. There'll be one Jacob. And Jacob will be not so good to begin with, but in his heart he'll love the things of God. So I'll choose Jacob. He saw you, and he knew that you wanted to be saved. So he said, the only thing I can do is to go down myself and have a son born or a body of flesh and be made like him.
Amen.
The antidote is for God himself to become sin, that he might pay the price, because it would take the highest thing there is to lift man from the lost condition. Look, he's above every angel, every archangel. The highest there was come down here on earth and lived among man and went to the lowest city in the earth, Jericho, and was so low to the littlest man in the city had to look down upon him, Zacchaeus. And then died for man's sin, come in the way of a stable. Poor, the richest. Oh, I hope you get it. The richest become the poorest. Even on a stormy night, said the birds has nests, and the foxes has holes. But I don't even have a place to lay my head. The highest of all heavens of heaven. Become the Lord of all the lords, even to the Amalekites. Was privileged to him. Above him, as far as comforts of life. Not only that, but in his death he suffered a death like no one ever suffered. Never a man ever suffered with such a broken heart. Well, his blood and water separated before his death. Poorest, from the richest to the poorest, from the most blessed to the most horrible suffering. And then, besides that, went down into the very lowest depths of the lowest hell, bearing our sins, and got the end of the string. Or the end of the road from the king.
Yes.
Now lifted up in the resurrection.
Yes.
And connected it.
Yes.
With the other part of eternity.
Yes.
And made a highway.
Yes.
Of holiness.
Yes.
That the unclean could come on and be cleansed.
Yes.
To the fountain filled with blood going from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. Come on to the highway. And someday, he who was at the beginning of time shall stand as the ancient of time. And will pull the great gospel cord. And all that's on that highway from the beginning of time to the ancient of time to the end of time shall be lifted up as he draws time out of existence into an eternity. You see it? There he is. The only true potentate. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. How did he do it? Foreknowledge he knew. Then he said that he was the Lamb slain. Then if he was, 4,000 years later, it just come in, the time run out. He was born, they dug to him what he said they would do, and then he was crucified and slain. But correctly, he was slain before the world began. For God foresaw him and said what would take place. And when God speaks, it has to be.
Amen.
You get it? Oh, my. God foresaw Christ. And it has to be. That's why it was already finished when God said the word, that finished it. That's the reason he was actually prefigured, slain when God spoke the word before the world. Notice, not only Christ was slain to take away sin, but your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. God wrote your name associated with His
before the foundation of the world.
Now, Satan, make them get scared now. Get them to doubt that. Before the world ever began, God called your name, you Christians, and wrote it in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever started. It's the Bible. That's God's word. He spoke back there, revealed to His servants, the prophets, and we are enjoying the blessing of resting and waiting upon the coming of the Lord.
So,
waiting patiently. Oh, no wonder sickness, peril, pain. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ.
Because the foundation of the world, He put us on that grand old highway, climbed up the horizontal rainbow,
until the pinnacle of the beginning of time again, holding the ropes in His hand, and someday, we which are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are died in the highway. Cause the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we shall be called together to meet them as the chains lifted up back into the cycle of eternity. And then as the ages roll on, His praises will sing. What's He doing? Up there building us a home. In my Father's house is many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. And I'll come down here, but I'm going to prepare one. Get it all fixed up. And if I go, I'll come again to receive you and to myself. Oh, my. And He's preparing a home. When this mortal binge that's here in the earth shall be, we shall be separated from it. It'll be cast to the outside of the chain of eternity. It'll be outside the gulf which no man can cross or ever did or ever will. And when this link down here has lifted to that part, that's the paved holy highway that God said in the beginning, where there was nothing to defile, there was nothing to destroy, and sin caused this loop. Then when this loop is continued right down to here to bring out the delegates, and when she's pulled up together to meet each end, eternity rolls on. They that are redeemed shall walk therein. You get it? Oh, I wish I could sing. I like to sing that old song. There's a beautiful home far over the sea. There's mansions of breath for you and for me. Her glittering towers of sunlight shine. That heavenly mansion someday shall be mine. So a tip or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there of rubies and diamonds and silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost.
Amen.
But now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
Nothing I've done, it was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed? To know that there's nothing I could do or would do or had an idea or had a privilege of doing. It's what He did for me.
Amen.
He came down and redeemed me, placed me on the highway and stood the other end to pull both these together to make the chain with eternity for Rome. I have a right to walk in that eternity because He died in my stead, taking away my sin.
Wonderful.
The law having a shadow of good things to come. What is a shadow? A shadow is a forecast of an object. You know, a lot of times people quote 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the dark shadows of the valley of death." That's wrong. It says, "They go." Yea, though I walk through the shadow, not the dark shadow. If it was dark, it wouldn't make a shadow. There has to be a certain percent of light to forecast a shadow.
Amen.
So, the law provided enough light to see the shadow of the real thing to come.
Amen.
Christ was represented in that law of the shadow. He was represented foreseen. And Joseph, under the law, Joseph, being a shadow of Christ, loved of his father because he was a spiritual man. He saw visions, interpreted dreams, very spiritual, and despised of his brothers, correctly with Christ. He saw visions of the father, and he was a spiritual man. And his brother hated him without a cause. And he was supposedly to have been killed, a bloody garment placed back before the Father. Oh, how beautiful.
Amen.
Oh, I get started on that. I don't ever get to this lesson.
Amen.
The garment taken back to the Father.
Amen.
Bloody, representing his son being dead, Isaac. And today, the garment of the Lord Jesus,
amen,
is sanctified life and is shedded blood for sinners.
Amen.
Stands before God as a memorial that the price is paid.
Amen.
You see it? And he was sold for almost 30 pieces of silver, like Christ was. He was taken up from the ditch, the pit where he was thrown in, Christ was too. Taken from the grave, and was set at the right hand of Pharaoh. No man could go to Pharaoh except by Joseph. A proclamation was made that when Joseph come forth, that there went forth men before him, caller said, "Everyone bow the knee. Joseph is coming." Now, the Bible said that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
He could bind Pharaoh's servants at his own desire. He had all the power and authority of Egypt given unto his hand.
Amen.
And when the chariot rolled down the street, everyone with a scream from every Egyptian.
Amen.
No matter how bad they hated him, they bowed their knee to Joseph.
Amen.
Someday, sinner friend, no matter how much you want to call it fanaticism, no matter how much you want to say it's wrong, how much you want to squirm and live into the world and despise the church and the things of God, someday you'll bow your knee.
Amen.
Whether you want to or not. But how glorious it might be for those who love Joseph. How they love and said, "Oh, here comes the great Prince Joseph." And they bowed their knees and said, "Oh, Joseph, you saved our lives. We would have starved to death if it had been others unappreciated." Ah, nonsense. Ungrateful. We got that kind of people in the world today. You don't realize that the bread you eat, the very air you breathe comes from God.
Amen.
And they worshiped him. Here some time ago when Mr. Baxter was my manager, when the King of England was there to visit, when the Queen come out, lovely lady, her pretty robe on, her gray hair, and the King sitting so sick at that time, he could hardly stand it. He had a stomach trouble and a multiple sclerosis that was just before his great part, that he could hardly stand up. But yet the royal blood of him stuck in what little chest he had out, and rode down the street in the carriage. Mr. Baxter standing there, and when he passed, I looked at him. His lips were quivering. The tears was running down his cheek. He put his big arm around me and said, "Brother Branham." I said, "Yes, Brother Baxter." He said, "You know, I'm a Canadian." "Yes." He said, "The man who's over our land, the King, him and his lovely bride and wife is passing by. That's why I can't hold my emotions. I have to get there." I put my arm around him. I said, "Brother Baxter, as a Christian with you, what will it be some glorious day when the King comes with his bride?" If a man could think that when seeing an earthly king, which is mortal like we are, what will it be when we see that King of Kings coming in glory? What a glorious time it'll be. He was foreshadowed it. And Joseph, he was foreshadowed in David. The law foreshadowed Christ. David. Christ being the son of David. And then, when Christ being in David as a shadow, it made David, when he was dethroned, rejected of his own brethren. Not only his own brethren, but his own blood. Absalom and his own children. And they despise their own father and call for his blood and dethroned him. And he went up the hill, the Mount of Olives, looking back, weeping over Jerusalem. How did God foreshadow Christ and David? For when he was dethroned, turned away, and his own delegates, his own people, the Jews, cried for his blood. Amen. Away with such a person. He set up on Mount Olives and looked over Jerusalem and wept. And Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you like a hen does her brood, but you would not. Christ was foreshadowed also in Melchizedek, in the priesthood in the 9th chapter, in the 7th chapter of Hebrews. How that Melchizedek, Abraham, also foreshadowed all back there, all the good things, just a shadow. And how that Melchizedek, in the 7th chapter, we read of him here. We just read it for a moment. For this Melchizedek, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Amen.
Amen.
Abraham, Lot, his cousin, a backslid. You see the real, true Spirit of Christ? I hope you get it. No matter how far he had backslid, when he was in trouble, here come Abraham to him with an army. Your aliens around about through the valleys of Sodom had come down and had took Sodom and its king and took in there, had took Lot with him. And Abraham, his uncle, blood relation, brother's children, and he looked down and saw that the enemy had taken away his blood relations. He formed an army of his own family. That represented Christ. When he saw the church of the living God had been been called away in air. But the devil, he found the legion of angels and come to the earth.
Amen.
To pursue the devil.
Amen.
Overtook him.
Hallelujah.
Lord. Scare the enemy.
Oh, how we love him for that.
Overtook the enemy. And he slew the enemy. And robbed him of everything he had. Cast him aside. And what was the first thing they did? Abraham returning back was Lot, his wife, his children, and all the possessions triumphantly walking back to the old home grounds again. He met Melchizedek.
Oh, my God.
Melchizedek was the king of Salem. Salem is Jerusalem. When the Jews went into Jerusalem, they called Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Salem, which means the city of peace. He was the king of, let us read it, to whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being interpreted the king of righteousness. Who was this king that met him? Coming back for the triumph of the victory, as the church is today from Calvary. After that, the king of Salem, which is the king of peace, without father, without mother, without the ship, having either beginning of days or ending of life.
Hallelujah.
Who was the king of Salem?
Amen.
The great king of Jerusalem, not the earthly, the heavenly.
Amen.
The earthly Jerusalem is a type of the heavenly. And here come the king of Salem, which is first the king of righteousness.
Amen.
The king of peace.
Amen.
He didn't have any father, didn't have any mother.
Amen.
He didn't have a beginning of life or ending of days.
Amen.
Oh my, without a descent, none other than Christ himself. That's who the church meets when he walks in the air. And when Abraham made, he gave him the tithe of all that he possessed.
Amen.
You know what they did? The first thing they did was set down.
Amen.
I feel really emotional. Set down and broke bread.
Amen.
And drank wine. They taken the communion after the battle was over. And the Bible tells us Jesus Christ did that we'll eat no more of the fruit of the vine.
Hallelujah.
Until I eat it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.
Amen.
That when the last battle is fought and the victory is won, and the waywards has been brought back to the kingdom of God, we'll set out in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And with our Melchizedek, who has no beginning of days or ending of years, oh, my, he's the king of the eternal one.
Oh, hallelujah.
Eat the communion again, my people.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a beautiful picture.
Amen.
This marvelous Old Testament gives to the New Testament believers. The law having a shadow of things to come. And not, listen, the law having a shadow of good things to come. And not the very image of those things. It was a shadow of the image. David ruled over the world in the golden age of Israel. What was he? The shadow.
Amen.
David sitting on the throne. All the world that he speaks. What was it? The shadow of. It was shadowing something. Shadowing the Son of David, who is the Son of God, who is Melchizedek, whose beginning of days and ending of years he has none.
Amen.
The shadow during the millennium. The shadow of the throne of David.
Amen.
Rule all nations.
Amen.
The shadow of good things. What is it today? We look and see the shadow. Men and women who profess to be Christians and live like the world. They say, oh, I belong to church. What difference does it make? It's a shadow. Of the deceiver from the Garden of Eden, who pretended to be good, who pretended to have rights, pretended to have wisdom, but was a deceiver. And that's the way men and women does today, that calls the name of Jesus Christ and doesn't depart from sin.
Amen.
Foreshadowing the punishment that they will receive with him who is a deceiver. Jesus said to those religious Pharisees, you are of your father the devil. I hope you find it. I hope this soaks real deep. A shadow of deceit. Then what does that real, royal, 100% Christian, that born again of the Spirit of God, whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, who let come, let go, what may they hold to God's unchanging hand? What is it in their heart that's a hungering for something other? For those said the Bible is due to so plainly confess
them
by the testimony of their life that they seek a city to come, considering they deserve. What is that hunger in your heart this morning to stand in His presence? What is that hunger in your heart this morning to reaching out with all that's in you? All your soul and your life is crying for something. So you say, I don't care what comes and goes. Oh, God! Something in you looking on the world and the tears run down your heart.
Amen.
Oh, lost brother. See the women who are degraded, demoralized, away and see men drinking and smoking and cursing and gambling and going to church. What is it in your heart to cry about my lost wayward brother? You've touched something up here. You've been connected with the other end of the line. You touched a chain, a highway that chained eternity in the beginning when your name was put there and seen by that great attribute or screen of God's knowledge. Look down and see if you'd come home, and yet blinded by the things of the world on here, you have a conception.
Amen.
When the Holy Ghost runs down this chain of blood and catches your heart, it speaks of a better land and a better place and a better city. Therefore you say, this world is my treasure's all laid up away beyond the blue. God speaking. Let come go on in. Your heart's still sinner. It's a shadow. The shadow is before you. That's what makes the shadow. The law having a shadow of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The law having a shadow. That's the reason he said in the Bible you have to take it, compare scriptures with scriptures, and make it come true. And if it comes a nick in it, remember you're out of line. Stay in that line of scripture. By the law having a shadow, can never make the worshiper perfect. Can never make the comer unto you perfect. For, listen, second verse, we'll try it. Next 5 minutes. Look, for then would there not have ceased to be offered if the blood of bulls and goats and sheep and heifers, and if the high priest was in right order, then the world would have continued on. Death would have ceased under that. You get it? Let it soak just a minute. If Caiaphas is the high priest, the offering of animal life would have protected the man and given him eternal life, then there was no reason for anything else to take place. That would have went right on. Eternal life would have set him and drove right on. But there had to be a shadow of the real Lamb of God that was coming to take away the sin of the world, which had been forespoken by God.
Amen.
And the men and women today that was foreknown by God before the foundation of the world, their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If they shout, all right. If they don't, all right. If they do this, all right. If they don't, all right. For God has already said so.
Amen.
It has to come to pass.
Amen.
It's not him that willeth or him that runneth. It's God that showeth mercy.
Thank the Lord.
God's choice. Not ours. Now notice. Then them offerings will not cease to have been. For they would not have ceased to be offered. Because,
what?
Here we're getting to the close now. The school's out. Because that the worshiper, why? Because,
oh, I feel like a little kid with a Christmas toy now. I'm just so happy about this. How I like to give it to the church, to you believers, to let you see what's true. If they would have been all right, and they would have seen. It would have went on eternal life. Because the worshiper, now read it with me. The worshiper once, not every revival, not every Sunday morning, but the worshiper once purged should have no more conscience of sin.
Amen.
What?
Amen.
The worshiper wants purge.
Amen.
The purity of the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Once purity sweeps out.
Amen.
Cleans out the worshiper.
Amen.
The very conscience of sin is gone.
Praise the Lord.
Think of it. The word conscience in the right interpretation that we'd use here, this is the King James Version, and in England it means the conscience, in Europe it means the desire. The worshiper was purged by the purity of Christ at the Calvary, has no more desire, see. All things have passed away, all things have become new. Now, you can sing like a lark, and still have hatred, malice, and strife in your body, your soul. You can shout like I don't know what. You still have it. You can dance in the spirit. You can speak with tongues. You can prophesy. You can preach any of those things and still have malice, envy, strife in your heart. But when the real, true, full ordination of God's eternal word, when your name is written there in the blood, ever purges that person, the very thoughts of it condemning on the track where he said,
amen.
Said, don't condemn me. I go to these places. I don't condemn me. Why doesn't it? You as a maggoty worshiper has never been purged,
amen,
by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the legalist got a hold of this idea. Hallelujah. I'll wear my dresses down this way, my dresses down this way. I'll let my hair grow long. I'll be all right. That's a lie. And they point back to the woman with short hair and with short dress and say she's going to hell. I can't say that. But I think those things are all right. I'm not condemning them. But when you rest your eternal hopes and salvation upon that doctrine, you are damned with it.
Amen.
A man or a woman, it doesn't matter where you're this, carry other, you come to the fountain filled with blood drawn from these manual veins, and let the purgative of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ purge your sins.
Amen.
Brother, it don't matter if you can still have dresses so long, you can still not wear a short sleeve shirt, you know, and those things or whatever you want to, but if you still got malice and envy and strife, you might have run, thanked, spoken, tongues, shouted, preached the gospel, anything, but you're lost until that blood has cleansed you,
yeah,
and set in the divine love of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and,
yeah,
in your life, Prince of Christ behind you. Amen. Where there is tongues, they shall cease. Where there is prophecy, it shall fail. Where there is knowledge, it shall be vanished. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part is done away. And we're resting today as legalists upon some legal thing that we done. Well, when I was a sinner, I was a leper. The more I tried to quit this and quit that, I only made my spots brighter. I was a hypocrite with it, and so was you. But the day when you come to Calvary, to the purging, where the real lamb, under the Old Testament, they brought a lamb. They go out and commit adultery. They get mad and fuss and fight and cut. And when they did, they bring the lamb. Bring it to the priest. Say, oh, priest of God, yes, I cursed my neighbor. I committed adultery. I told a lie. I stole. Lay his hands upon the dying lamb without a spot. the priest examined it. Having it kept up to see if it was right. Laid his hands upon it. And they cut the throat. And the blood went up over his hands. And the little lamb bleeding, kicking, and dying. And the worshiper standing there said, yes, that should be me. But the lamb taking my place. But he went back out with the same desire. He'd do it again just as soon as he got a chance. And that's the way people do today. They come in and confess and say, I'll dissatisfy and go back out and turn around and do the same thing over again. Join one church to another and just get to know something started war, go to this one and that one. But what was it a shadow of? It was imperfect. That could never take away sin. But it was a shadow. How is the real devil cure coming? And when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and died at Calvary, and the worshiper once places his hands upon the head of the Lord Jesus, and knowing that screaming and crying at the cross, that death, that vicarious suffering, he ought to pay at his death in that depths of hell where he should have been. He knows that Christ paid the price of confessing his sin. Then what happened? What made the difference? What went out of the lamb from the blood? That's the life. And the blood cell was on his hands. The life was a circular order. But the life of the lamb could not come back on the worshiper. Though he confessed that he was wrong, the lamb took his place. Because a worshiper has a soul, and he couldn't live as an animal. Life! But! Oh, God! Cock back both hammers on the shotgun, let both barrels go to this church in my prayer. But when the worshiper, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, the Holy Spirit shall not come into condemnation, but passing death life. When the worshiper puts his hands on the head of the dying Lamb of Calvary, and confesses his sins, and God recognizes that to be true, but from his heart, he confesses his sin. That circling light called the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ turns back into the worshiper. And he turns and has no more desire of sin. For he's led by the Spirit of God and not his own life, man.
He'll make this thing certain.
But the light of holy. Watch. Let's go down to the 14th verse. We've got time to finish it. Let's take the 12th verse. But this man, not the lamb, Christ, but this man is talking how the high priest ordered, how the priest went to the temple and so forth, worship, how the worshiper went back out with the same desire. Man comes to the altar and says, yes, I don't want to go to hell. Preacher, preacher, I don't know how hell is, and the altar is full of people, oh, God, I don't want to go to hell. But they're never willing to yield themselves.
Yeah.
Say, yes, Lord. Not my will from this home, but yours. Really realize what you're doing. Say, God, be merciful to me. The blood of Jesus is on your hands then. Don't you go out and start living the same life that you did. That blood will condemn you at the end of the judgment. You better have the life that's in that blood to return to your life's blood. Return to your heart and make you live a different Christian, a different person. The worshiper was purged. Watch here. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, for how long? Ever. That shameless eternity. Forever set down at the right hand of God at the end of the road. Where is he at? At the end of the road. You remember Sunday before last? The Sunday that I preached and illustrated the little ark of Moses that was going down to the bulrushes and everything. You remember how you old people got to crying and shouting when I was preaching to the children, had all them little black and blue eyes sitting up here on the front row, telling them if you lose your life, you'll find it. If you keep your life, you'll lose it. You remember that, church? You remember when I was in the illustration, gave the illustration of that morning when Jehoshaphat and when Amram, Aaron, and Miriam all down before daylight with their hands up in the earth, and God, you gave us the baby. Now we're giving it back to you. You give it to us. It wasn't ours. It was yours. You give it to us, and now we give it back to you. me keep it. The witches of hell will kill it. And those long hook-nosed women come out there and take its little head and bust it against the wall. We'll lose it if we keep it. But if we give it back to the one who gave it to us, we'll keep it. That's the same thing in your little bark this morning, brother and sister. You've got a cargo in there, a precious cargo in the world. It's called your soul. Go ahead, keep it. Live the way you want to. You'll lose it as certain as I'm standing here. And if you give it back to God and share your will, you'll keep it. You'll find it. Jesus said so. Remember, and when they push the treasure of their heart, when they push it out into the river, old crocodile coming up, I could see God in the flood, raised from his throne. You know, there's a lot of trials going on down here. But there's somebody looking at him all the time. They're loving out their life unto death. One poor Abraham with his only beloved little child, little Jehoshaphat, just nursed it to her bosom and then had to put an ark and push it out into the bulrushes where the alligators were packed on little babies. There, when she was standing there in the fear running down her cheek, thought that, come here, Gabriel, come here, Hannah. I want to show you something. I got somebody that really needs me. Amen. God, let me be that type of person. I can say, God said so, it's right. And be so dead to anything else, or it becomes a sounding bad to people. He said, come here, Dave. All you angels, come out here. I want to show you something. That man down there, his hands up, push his own baby out. I gave it to him, I was giving it back. Oh, see that he keeps it. Amen. The Gabriel calls 10,000 angels on marching orders. Oh, now here. Gabriel sounded a little trumpet across the corners of eternity. 10,000 armed angels walked down to swing yourself up and down the river. See, there's no alligators. Nothing else will touch one of them. It was given back to me. Gabriel said, Lord, chief captain, what are you going to be? I'm going to be at the end of the line. I'm going to receive down there. That's the same thing he does today. When a man puts his trust in the Lord Jesus, confesses his sin, the Holy Ghost takes a hold of that man, and Christ stands at the receiving end. Though too many whirlpools and alligators and scary spooks and everything else we come through many dangers, all these prayers I have already come. If grace that brought me safe thus far, it's grace that'll take me off. Who's at the receiving end? Listen, forever set down at the right hand of God, from henceforth up down at the end of the road, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Are you ready? Here it is. Here's the last turn on the bolt. Here's the last spot of the torch. Here's the last drive of the nail. This is the one who clinches eternity to eternity. And in there, the sword of God's deliverance that went through the heart and hanging up his delegate to the Holy Spirit. Here it is, Hebrews 10:14. Listen, not my word, but God's word, who spoke before the foundation of the world. It has to be so. For by one offering, he has P-E-R-F-E-C-T-E-D, perfected forever them that are sanctified. Perfected how long? Till the next time you get on a out with your neighbor, till the next time you see somebody, some man or woman is lustful, until the next time you see a chance to tell a big lie, until the next time you see where you can neck someone, hurt them, drive them away from church, so sometimes you can criticize somebody. He has sanctified forever, protected forever, or the Holy Ghost. You might say something sometimes wrong, that's right. You might do something sometimes wrong, that's right. But as soon as you do it, watch the next verse. Oh, the Holy Ghost!
Amen.
Oh, my. I just can't preach anymore.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is a witness to us. The Holy Ghost is a witness to us. After that, he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquity will I remember no more. Oh, God. Every man that has his hope purifies himself even as God is pure. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning for the purging of the Holy Ghost, for the grace of the living God. We were sinners, unrighteous, ungodly, unlovable, without God, without hope, alienated in the world. And Christ come and took our place. By foreknowledge, God saw us in this condition. Knowing that we were hungering and thirsting, no wonder Jesus said, they shall be filled. Not become members, not they shall join, but they shall be filled. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. In other words, hungering and thirsting, knowing that we can do nothing in ourselves, no matter what we do. The devil could make us impersonate every gift, could make us go out and lay hands on the sick and they'd recover, could make us speak with tongues, could make us interpret tongues, to make us have wisdom, knowledge. But that doesn't take it, Lord. You said many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have not I done these things in your name? He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never even knew you. Oh, God, then let our hopes be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood with righteousness. Well, all around our soul gives way, then he's all of our hope and stay. For on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other grounds is sinking sand. To know him is life. Not to know the orders, to know him, the person. I pray, Father, for every sinner in the building today, that you'll save them just now. And may they, without any emotion, without any contradiction from the devil, but may they with a true, unadulterated faith believe what they've heard preached and accept.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit who brought it. Grant it, Lord. For it's in his name we ask it. And with our heads bowed, I wonder if there's someone here this morning. Now I want your level, honest, truthful, no matter what you've done. No matter how many starts you've made, or how long you've gone to church, are you sincere from the depths of your heart of this, that knows that the things of the world has passed from you? To know that day after day and year after year, it continues on, your anchor holds. There's somebody on her foreshadowed at the end of the road where this great chink will be drawn out. There's somebody there tugging at your heart, knowing that someday you'll be lifted up. If that's not gone from your heart today, friend, fellow citizen, pilgrim, poor little flock, God bless your heart. See, sitting here, gray hair and stooped shoulders. See, poor little kids who maybe had missed meals. And would I stand here and say anything wrong to you? That, well, God forbid, I'd be hard to get down and repent before it even preach. I love you. And that's a real Christian love. Be honest now with the Holy Spirit. Has all those things passed them, or has Satan deceived you? And you're just living a halfway life. Sometimes you think, well, all right, next time, why you... Well, I don't know, and things happen as you know, and if that's your condition, and this morning you want to surrender it all to Christ, remember what he said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath right now everlasting life. Judgment's over. From that time on, the thing will be dead. If you really accept it, it'll prove itself. Now look,
Don't be deceived. Remember here long years ago when we had the church in order, I'm talking to you. You're praying. Heads bowed. Remember when we had the church in order? When a message was given in prophecy or in tongues and interpretation? When we wrote it down and laid up here on the platform, witnessed by three men? I gave the message from the platform. If it didn't come to pass, you had an evil spirit among you. You come up here and made it right. If a person done what was wrong, a sister or brother seen them doing wrong, they went to them. When they come in church, got them in the arm, went back here in the little room. Said, "Brother, I've seen you at the wrong place. I'm not going to sit before the church because I love you. You were wrong. Let us pray now." See? Now, you be honest with yourself. If the love of Christ is in your heart above everything else, God bless you. You're all right. But if it isn't, don't be deceived. Those spirits are deceitful as they can be. They deceive you. That's what the one done Eve told her, a whole lot of new truth. Oh, yes, God said, But there's a little flaw in it. That's what the wife broke us this morning. We see that little flaw in the chain. That's what does all the trouble. Brother, if it's not running perfectly with the heart of God, will you raise your hand now to God and say, "God, by this, I really want to be right. Nobody look but me." Raise up your hand. God bless you, lady. Someone else, God bless you. God bless you. You. God bless you. Now, He knows you. He knows every one of you. He knows just what you're doing. Now, our old-fashioned way, while you had your head bowed, is for people to come to the altar. That's fine. I like that. That's not a Bible affair. That's just a church doctrine. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become sons and daughters of God. Right while you're sitting, and you raise your hand, a dozen or more of you here, will you now accept in the depths of your heart, after you say you feel that you should, will you same group that raised your hand, would you raise your hand and say, "I will now accept this, Brother Branham. I'll now accept Jesus. No matter what I've done, I'll now accept Him as my lover and my Savior." God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, lady. I now will accept Him. Something in my heart telling me that I want to. There's something telling me that I must right now. This is my day. Maybe the next time I'll be too far away. God bless you, mister. God bless you, brother. God bless you, lady. I see your hand. Now I feel I must do it. Friends, the church is cooling off. America's going to be judged pretty soon. Every nation received it. What are you going to be 100 years from now? You're going to be somewhere. Sometime between this minute and 100 years from now, you're going out of this world. You better be sure. Don't trifle with it. The word's being preached by the Holy Spirit. And it's the truth coming from God's Word. There's someone who loves you. Now, you can't raise your hand unless somebody calls you to raise your hand. That's the Holy Ghost. No man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And if He loves you well enough to knock at your heart and say, "Yes, I mean you, this is the time, I want to come in before I have to take you off this earth prematurely," I will now ask you to raise your hand. Won't you do it then? One more, say, "I now from the depths of my soul accept it." Now I'm going to pray for you. God bless you, lady. I just felt, Sister Dear, that was you. I looked back there. Of course, you all realize I'm just a few days, but a few hours before the meeting out here. I'm staying in my room right now, praying. Healing service, the angel of the Lord is near. Great things will take place. I looked back and seen something standing in the room. It's over a young woman. I seen others raise their hand. I felt a witness that that was true. I thought, if I make one more call, that woman just raised her hand. And she did. That was it. Now, God, the lover of our soul, who are we anyhow? Why, before the world was ever formed, you know what every mosquito would be on earth, every ant, every chigger, your infant. And you knew that this morning that people would raise their hand. You knew it. Why, you've seen them before the world began. You've known it always. and you knew that this thing would take place, that you might express your love to your people. You said you raised up Pharaoh and hardened his heart that you might show your power. How much more will you express your love? Satan, that evil one who perverted right to wrong, you let him do it because you express your love and to your people. Oh, God, we love you so much. We appreciate you. And I pray, God, that these people live a Christian, humble life from this day henceforth as they've accepted you. And if there be others, maybe I've never seen them all, maybe you never showed them to me, but you talk to them. If there's others, bless them also. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
There is a fountain filled with love.
You know, yesterday Brother Roberson was up to Brother Woods. I sat down, I was waiting for some visiting minister to come. He threw on a picture. And the picture was, a lot of it we was looking at, but one of it, when the church was walking out the door. And I seen myself come out there, and I looked, oh my. Boy, how, what a few years has done to you. I looked again. That come in my mind this morning. Just a few more days we have of these sorrows and sins. Now think of the times that I heard that song start. See them make their way up here, stand around the altar to take communion. I've heard the casket wheels squeaking as she went out in the room there, taking them out. Remember, the preaching of this word will be a stand of judgment. Now I'll have to stand behind it. Stand there. I'll have to be a witness of that. I can't take it back. I've done said it. Got to stay with that. It's going to meet me in judgment. Just as God said his word, he can't take it back. See? Now I weigh every word first in my heart. You see, if I want to say it myself, if it seems wrong, I don't say it, I let him say it. If he says something contrary, though I wouldn't believe it, I'd say it anyhow, because it's him. I want to be sure, because I don't want any mistakes that day. You know, it's going to be awful dark down the river that day. Ain't going to be nobody there to help. You ain't going to take no money down there. Your friends are going to be in the same shape you are. It'll be awful dark. You got to cross. I want to be sure my ticket's right. I want to be sure when I look on it, I see the red blood of my master. And then when I hear after a while the old ship blow, it'll be all right. But I don't want no trouble down there. And I want to settle it now. If there's any trouble, I want to settle now. I'm going to need every bit of grace I can get it that day. I'm going to be honest. As the great teacher said to the day, he didn't want to be pauper, he wanted to be honest. I bless mine with him. I want to be honest. I want to tell the truth. For that day, when it does come, I hear the screams around the bank. I want to look down and be sure. Like the Hebrew children, they see a black wing coming across the death. The little boy said to Dad, are you sure the blood's on the limb? The father looked out, yes, son, the blood's there, but that's all right, then we're saved. It's not there this morning, friend. Be sure. Now, or may I know you come to be prayed for, sis. This poor little girl. How she's sitting on a roll with a little bitty thing there. Little Shirley sitting here, we just come in from Arizona. I think of them little kids. all of you remember, Mount, you're in a little old boxed-up house where poor old Dad set together behind the church here for him. Remember those little fellows' house? How we all know him? How poor little Ora May, it takes two to raise a family. Oh, God, this horrible thing of marriage and divorce. And how Curtis done the best he could by them. He worked hard. But a child, no matter who it is, needs a mother's love. Somebody to love them. It's nature. Sit quiet in your feelings. I'm a hunter. I study wildlife. And I get out and just study it. An old mother bear, when she goes in the fall of the year, she's glad to be a mother again. She runs all her cubs away. She has them 1 to 2. She runs them away and make them hibernate themselves so they'll be used to it. The next year, when she comes out, she's got 2 more little babies, 1 or 2 more. She mothers them through the summer. And fall, she scats them away again. She has 2 more the next summer. But what if she doesn't have any babies that year? You know what she does? She goes out. She tries to find those cubs. They're as big as she is. If she can't find them, she'll take a couple of little wolves. She'll take a couple of coyotes. She'll take actually a human baby. Sure, it's been done. She'll take that little baby or anything. And she'll mother it. It's just nature. She can't help it. Look at a little girl with her dolly. Well, she ain't 3 years old. I seen my little Sarah the other night. I went in the room, nervous little thing. There she was sleeping with her little doll on her arm. I stood there and looked down. What a poor little thing. You know, it won't be long, many years, Dad will get old like I am now. Get gray and pass away, but that's foreshadowing someday. A real little baby laying there. It's just in you. And if you don't love those little fellows, something else will take its place. If a man don't worship God, he'll worship his car, he'll go to the bar room, he'll do something else, he'll run around, because there's something got to take that place. Now, our sister, I don't mean to be get her into emotion, but not having the mother's care correctly, something else took its place. The poor little thing is suffering this morning from a nervous break. 2 little babies. She's made mistakes, so have I. And who else hasn't? But I'm trying to say there's someone who's unforgiven. She raised her hand a while ago. It's all gone. That comes from a true heart, which I want to believe it did. Watch what happens. And she's an old gray-headed woman who'll still stand. Right? But she's nervous. There's not a medicine in the world can help nerves. If you take medicine to settle your nerves, it'll make you twice as bad when it leaves you. They're not a remedy for nervousness. But I'm so glad there's a cure. You know, I've suffered that too. There's a cure, not a remedy, a cure. Double cure. Oh, my sermon yesterday at the radio. The era of deliverance. The preacher strikes so short of it, as Josh did. He should have struck some more. But look, my brother, sister, the remedy is Christ. Or may I say this, in the pulpit behind this little old box built here, that it's just as sacred as any pulpit, or the gospel that's been dedicated to God. We're poor people. It might not have a gold layer over the top, but the Holy Ghost has come here and done some great things for us. My sister dear, God bless your little heart. As a mother
and as a child. If you'll accept what Brother Bill has said or tell you now, I'll assure you, honey, that you'll go out in here, you'll be well. Now, when you raised your hand a while ago, that time you accepted Christ. I want you, in a few minutes, I want you to come up here, and I can prove to you, by you be the judge. By the grace of God and the Holy Ghost that's now standing here, I can make it leave you. Right, I'll never see the face. But then, it'll come back to you when you get away from here. See? If you'll let it. But if you'll just not receive it anymore, no matter how you feel, before all sin, Jesus Christ heals me. See, you've dropped, old mate, from up here, where you used to be happy and ride that bicycle and run up and down the street here. You're happy then. You didn't have the feelings you had now, did you? See, now you've dropped down here. It's because there wasn't nothing there to hold you, honey. You dropped down here. But now you've got to believe that you're up here. And believe it in faith without works is dead. If you believe it, then act like you're up there. And then God will just lift you right up there again. There's your Aunt Needy sitting back there. She had the same thing. I had the same thing. I know what it is. But God's the cure. Are you going to believe it this morning, Orme? Why don't you come in? Any of the rest of you? Stick to the anointing. All right, let's bow our heads just a moment. Church already knows Curtis. You know Orme. Just to look at Orme, you see something taking place. She's weary and upset. Orme, this is a seven now. I want to ask you something. Many times, Orme, you said, if I could just find some place to start from, if I could just begin at this time to feel better, I believe I could help myself pull out. That's right, isn't it? Well, you're at the place now, Orme. You're at the best place in the world, at the altar, where the only person in the world can help you will. That's God. I want you to bow your heads, everybody, join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as this poor little girl, life is so short. Now she's a young mother. I know a while ago when she raised her hand, every sin was taken away. God, your Bible's a witness of that. You spoke it from heaven. That he that would believe would receive. Now she's got an awful struggle ahead of her, Lord. And Satan would throw her out the yard, take them babies away from her, and set her in the insane institution to butt her head against the wall. But she come to the right place today, the altar. She come to the house of the living God. She stands here as it was alone at the altar, but not alone. The angels of God are encamped about. The Holy Ghost is near too. And she's a witness of seeing many things happen. And know that you are God. Now I pray that with all my heart, with all my soul, at this day that you will help or me. Now Father, I'm taking from this altar that's set here at this sacred place where the Holy Ghost is overshadowed. It's called olive oil, or anointed oil, anointing oil. It's according to your specification, the oil from the olives of the branch. And now as I go forward to anoint my sister with this oil, you said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. As you're preaching the gospel, knowing that this great service is coming up, God will be done here in Annapolis. For many neurotic, deaf, dumb, blind, and everything will stand there. But we don't fear one bit. You spoke it before the world began. We have a touch of heaven out of that tells us it's the truth. We go farther than to challenge that devil. Our people's in trouble. Just as Lot was in the sermon this morning, and Abraham went after him. Satan, we come after you this morning.
our poor little forsaken sister is in trouble, and we come after you with anointed oil and with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the divine word of God and the gospel. We go to lay hands on her.
To the commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We love you today with a pure, holy, unadulterated love. And let thy kindness and mercy rest upon each and every one. We thank you for the strangers in our gate. And we pray that you'll bless each one. Bless our dear beloved pastor, our brother Neville, who stands with us in the harness of the gospel, not yoked up with the world, but harnessed up with Christ, all the harness of God on, pulling the old gospel chariot on along, yoked together as fellow citizens and servants of God. Bless all the deacons, trustee, treasurer, everyone that's concerned, all the members, the laity, the strangers. God, there's coming a meeting out here in Annapolis. God, I'm not worthy to be blessed, but will you bless the people through the preaching of the word? No doubt, but hundreds will stand. We also are not the slaves. In the name of Jesus Christ, that you are all our Heavenly Father, grant that your mercy be extended for in Christ's name. Now with our heads bowed, I wonder now if there's anyone here that would have come to the altar, would want to come and kneel for a word of prayer that's accepted Christ, or feel like that you'd just like to pray a little bit after the visitation of the Holy Spirit. Don't you feel real good about it? Don't you feel good? Come here, Brother Neville. How many would just raise your hand and say, I'd like to come to the altar for just a little of prayer? Would you raise your hand and say, I'd just like to purge myself a little? Oh, God bless you. All right? Now, see,
our brother Neville, I think I have noticed him in all of his walks, been a real man. I find him the same every day.
Whether the battles are going good or going bad, Brother Neville remains the same. I thank God for it.
Brother Neville couldn't do that in himself. It takes God to do it.
And I'm glad that this bunch of sheep has a shepherd like Brother Neville. I pray the Holy Ghost will help him and bless him. I love him. And I love his people. And all you people we love. And we pray that God will bless you. But now while we bow our heads again, I'm going to ask that those who would want to be prayed for, want to kneel and purge yourself, would come humbly to the altar. Now, Brother Neville, you offer prayer for them. If you will, I want you to be in on this. Everyone, pray.
Our Father God in heaven this morning, how we do thank you for this time.